This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tonight, inshallah ta'ala, we continue our series of explaining Adhkar al-Sabahi wal-Masa', the supplication and the remembrance of the morning and the evening. And we're still up to the first one and the greatest of them, and that is Ayatul Kursi. And we have finished from half of it, and we are with the second half. We're hoping, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we can conclude it today. We reached قوله تعالى يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه. In this part of the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about His knowledge. But we need to understand the relationship of this part of the ayah with the previous part. In the previous part, and that is the last part that we explained, we spoke a lot about الشفاعة. In where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ, that no one is allowed. And who is it who would even dare to intercede with Allah except by His permission? So the question here is, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention His knowledge of all things after He had mentioned no one can intercede with Him except by His permission? Because يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ, He knows everything about everyone. Understand this relationship. When I want to intercede for someone in this life, I want to intercede for someone, I put a good word for someone and I'm trying to convince the boss that this person deserves such a position. This is what you do essentially when you're interceding for someone. But Allah Azza wa Jal already knows about everyone. So what are you going to tell Allah Azza wa Jal that He already doesn't know? Therefore, Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. So this is why no one is allowed to intercede with Allah except by Allah's permission. Once again, no one is allowed to intercede with Allah except by Allah's permission. Why? Because He knows the state and the condition of all the people. He knows who's worth the intercession and how much of the intercession he's worth. يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. He knows all of His creation. Now, this part, as we said, this part of the ayah, it brings our attention to a great attribute of Allah, and that is صِفَةُ الْعِلْمِ. This is the attribute of knowledge. And the attribute of knowledge had to be mentioned in this ayah, since this ayah is the greatest ayah in the Quran that talks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. يَعْلَمُ, He subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. There are two opinions here. I'll share the two opinions with you. The first one is this, that Allah Azza wa Jal knows whatever is بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ. مَا meaning whatever. بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ, what is between their hands, in between their hands. And this is a reference to the future. Because what is in between your hand, meaning what is your future. So يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ, that Allah Azza wa Jal has full, perfect and complete knowledge of their future. Everything, including the death and after death and the state of the people on the Day of Judgment. وَالْعُلَمَاء رَحِمَهُمُ اللَّهُ, when they discussed يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ, them, what, who's them? It is a reference to everything in the heavens and in the earth. He knows everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created in the heavens and in the earth. The living beings, which are the humans, wal jinn and the angels, and also the non-living beings, whatever it is, the stars, the moon, the rock, the sun, everything, everything, all the rest of the creation. But of course in the ayah there's a more reference to living beings. Everything in the heavens and the earth, Allah knows ma bayna aydihim, their future. And what the days to come will be for these things that Allah Azza wa Jal created. يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ means behind them, meaning their past. Allah Azza wa Jal knows the past of each and every single thing He created. He knows the history of it. And when Allah, when Musa alayhi salam was explaining who Allah Azza wa Jal is to Fir'aun, and Fir'aun asked the question, he said to Musa alayhi salam, فَمَا بَالُ الْقُرُونِ الْأُولَى. What about the previous nations and everyone in the past? How's Allah's knowledge with all that? What does he know? For Musa alayhi salam, he said, قَالَ عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي. All the knowledge of the past, its knowledge is with Allah. في كتاب, it's in recorded in a book. لَا يَضِلُّ رَبِّي وَلَا يَنْسَى. In which he does not make any mistake in. Everything is as clear as it is, and accurate and precise as it should be. This is لَا يَضِلُّ رَبِّي. He doesn't make a mistake in all the knowledge that he has of the past. Allahu Akbar. And if I just told you, write a history of 2 days ago, what you did, and detail everything in every second you did, you have no clue. Subhanallah. لكن الله سبحانه وتعالى, everything since he created the creation until today, all that is considered history. He knows it all. And it's all recorded in a book. لا يضل ربي. He doesn't make any mistake. ولا ينسى. And he does not forget anything as well. والله سبحانه وتعالى, he says in Surah Al-Mujadilah, يوم يبعثهم الله جميعا فينبئهم بما عملوا أحصاه الله ونسوه. On the day of judgment, when everyone is resurrected, جميعا, when everyone is resurrected, ينبئهم بما عملوا, he'll inform each and every single person of that which he did and what he said, every single thing in detail. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, أحصاه الله. Allah Azza wa Jalla has enumerated it all. It's all been recorded. وَنَسُوهُ. And they have forgotten it. You see this? They have forgotten it. What do you do when you know that your past, your history, you have forgotten about? And it is in the history, in the past, that we have committed sins and made mistakes. And you've forgotten about all this. Then how do you seek tawbah and repentance and forgiveness for what you have done in the past of sins and you have forgotten about? This is why in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, he used to say, Allahumma ghfir li ma qaddamtu wa ma akhart. Oh Allah, forgive ma qaddamt. Forgive all my previous sins. And this includes what I still remember and what I have forgotten about. So always a person needs to update his tawbah and continue to ask Allah Azza wa Jal, اغفر لي ما قدمت. Forgive all my previous sins, so that there are definitely sins and mistakes you have forgotten about, so that when you stand before Allah Azza wa Jal, that you know you have covered those with a tawbah and a seeking of forgiveness of His subhanahu wa ta'ala. إذن يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم. He knows all the future and He knows all your past. And the second opinion to بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ أَنْ خَلْفَهُمْ, the second opinion is the opinion of Mujahid ibn Jubair, rahimahullah. He said that he flipped it around. So in his opinion, بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ, which is the future, بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ is actually the past. This is the opinion of Mujahid, rahimahullah. His opinion is that بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ is the past. And there is proof for this in the Quran itself, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the beginning of Surah Ali Imran, نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. Allah Azza wa Jal, He said that He had revealed this Quran, and this Quran confirms the truth of the books that is in between its hand. What are the books in between the hands of the Quran? Obviously, these are the previous books. At-Tawrat, wal-Injil, and the truths that were in that book have been confirmed in the Quran. And those books were in the past. And the past, Allah Azza wa Jal referred to it as saying, لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. فَمُجَاهِدْ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ says that يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ would mean their past, وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ means what is ahead of them, the future. So it doesn't really make a difference. These are two opinions. Whatever the case is, Allah Azza wa Jal knows the future and He knows the past. What about the present? Nothing was mentioned about the present. But this is obvious knowledge, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the future, then the future that He knows would become your present when you live that moment. Yani if Allah Azza wa Jal knows what happens tomorrow, which is the future, tomorrow when you live tomorrow, that is your present. He had already known this, right? So when we say Allah knows the future, that covers as well the present. And yani Allah Azza wa Jal would mention this very directly in Surah Maryam, when He said, وَمَا نَتَنَزَّلُ إِلَّا بِأَمْرِ رَبِّكَ لَهُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِينَا وَمَا خَلْفَنَا وَمَا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا. In Surah Maryam, Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentions that He knows the future of the angels and all of that which He created. And He knows their past, وَمَا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ, and everything in between, which is a reference to the present. طيب. My brothers and sisters in Islam, as you read this ayah in the morning and in the evening, and you get to this قوله تعالى يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ, that Allah Azza wa Jal knows everything that is happening everywhere in the universe. He knows it all. He knows what is happening on land that man hasn't even put his foot on yet. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ. To Him belongs the keys of the unseen. This is the knowledge of the unseen. وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ. None but Him know it. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. العلماء رحمهم الله referred to this ayah as the most detailed ayah concerning the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal. In Surah Al-An'am, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَيَعْلَمْ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. And He knows what is happening on every piece of this land on earth. He knows what's happening on every continent and what's happening on every island, in every forest, in every cave, in every mountain, in every ocean. What is happening in the depths of the ocean, in where submarines and ships and whatever it is hasn't even got there yet. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. He knows. He knows, subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the black ant that is crawling on a black rock in the pitch black night, as the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said. He knows when it was born, when this ant was born. He knows when it will die. He knows where it is crawling as it crawls. And this is one ant. He knows about all of them and what they eat and where and when they will stop crawling and when and where they will resume crawling. Every single thing about an ant, He subhanahu wa ta'ala would know. And then now apply the same thing to each and every single one of His creation. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. And there is not a leaf that falls, وَرَقَةٍ, a single leaf that falls off a tree or wherever it falls from, except that He knows every single thing about it. He knows it before it fell. And as it falls, He knows. And after it falls, He knows where it's going to fall, when it's going to fall, how it's going to fall, where it is going to end, how its ending is going to be. And that's for one leaf. And this is for all the leaves that are on earth. This is a leaf, something that you and I would see as something very insignificant. But this is the detailed knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then He says, وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ. Even the seed that is in the darkness of the earth, He knows about it, and where it is, and what kind of seed it is, and when and where it will sprout, and then the fruits that this tree would bear, He knows each and every single fruit. Whose mouth is it going to end in? In a human being's mouth, in an animal's mouth, in whoever's mouth it is. Perhaps the tree now, perhaps the seed that's in the earth, that is going to grow into an apple tree, and there is an apple on it, and this tree is all the way in, let's say in somewhere in Malaysia, and that apple is written on it that it's going to be yours. How? Allah, they will reach there. Allahu alam, it'll reach. It's written, or Allah Azza wa Jalla knows this knowledge already. Allahu Akbar. Look how detailed this is. وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. And everything that is alive and everything that is dead is recorded in a book, recorded in a clear book with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Musa alayhi salam, when he wanted to see Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, Rabbi arini anzur ilayk. My Lord, let me see you. He wanted to see Allah. Then Allah Azza wa Jal responded and he said, Team, Lan Tarani, you cannot see me. Because if you see me, you'll burn, you'll be destroyed. However, look at the mountain. I will shine some of my light on the mountain. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu mentioned that Allah Azza wa Jal shined this much of his light on a mountain. This much. فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّى رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ This much. جَعَلَهُ دَكًّا An entire mountain crushed and crumbled. وَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَعِقًا And Musa alayhi salam fell unconscious. In another narration, he actually died. That was his death. Allahu alam, there is a difference of opinion here. Perhaps it could be that he died. Perhaps it could be the case. Allahu alam. But he fell unconscious. Allah Azza wa Jal then said, فَلَمَّا أَفَاقْ When he regained consciousness, when he woke up again, and now that he had woken up and realized the greatness of Allah, and that no one can see him in this earth, in this life, and now his knowledge of Allah had increased, he said, Subhanaka tubtu ilayk. Subhanak. He glorified Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right then and there. He declared perfection for Allah. And he said, Tubtu ilayk. I have repented to you. And this is what we want to do. When your knowledge about Allah increases, this is what it should lead you to these words, Subhanaka tubtu ilayk. Subhanallah, my brothers and sisters in Islam, as you read Ayat al-Kursi in the morning and in the evening, and you reach يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ Stop and reflect that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the affairs of each and every single thing He created, He knows the leaf, and He knows the seed in the earth, and He knows every living and dead creature, and He knows about the black ant. Doesn't He also know about your affairs? Of course. He knows what is good for you and He brings it to you. And He knows what is evil and harmful for you and He keeps it away from you. Therefore, the one who knows Al-Ilm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who knows Al-Aleem, the one who knows Allah, the All-Knowing, the one who knows Allah through His name Al-Aleem, would live with peace and comfort. So many people today, they say, I wish I can talk to someone that understands me. But the one who knows the name of Allah, Al-Aleem, doesn't need this kind of language in his life. Then Allah Azza wa Jal knows him. And this is why we're reading Ayat al-Kursi every morning and evening. You're reaching to qawli ta'ala ya'lamu ma bayna aydihim wa ma khalfahum. He knows every single thing about me. Who do you need to talk to after this? Address your Lord. Address Allah Azza wa Jal. The more you know Allah Azza wa Jal through His name Al-Aleem, the more you will live in peace and in comfort and in tranquility, knowing that you're only attached to the one who knows each and every single matter in your life. The more you know Allah Al-Aleem, the more you become honest in your life. Ya Wallah, you become honest. Because now, you know that Allah knows everything, how can you dare to lie? How can you dare to lie? Especially between you and Allah Azza wa Jal, you'll find more honesty in your worship. You'll find more honesty in your dealings with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Heck, natural effect of anyone who allows for his heart to absorb the name of Allah Al-Aleem will become very, very honest in his dealings with Allah. And if you're extremely honest in your dealings with Allah, naturally you become honest with each and every single person around you. So when you're lying to people, when you lie to people, this is a reflection of your relationship with Allah. So you need to start fixing this one up. Once you fix your relationship with Allah, your work on your sidqun ma'allah, your honesty with Allah Azza wa Jal, that naturally leads to you being honest with the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Idhan, ya'lamu ma bayna aydihim wa ma khalfahum. Allah Azza wa Jal then he emphasizes the meaning of the fact that he knows all his creation, their future and their past. He said, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءٍ Yani, he knows about everything and everyone. And in addition to this, لَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ They don't know anything of his knowledge except whatever he wills. Allahu Akbar, how powerful is this? Yani Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling you, I know everything about you and you have a clue about nothing except what I've given you. إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ Allahu Akbar. Absolute knowledge here for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ يُحِيطُونَ, it comes from the word أَحَاطَ. Ahata means to surround something from all sides, to encompass something. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says that the people, لا يحيطون, they do not encompass anything of Allah's knowledge. No one knows anything, absolutely nothing. That's the default. We are created and born ignorant. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. It is Allah who brought you out of the bellies and the womb of your mothers, and you're in a state of ignorance. لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. You got no clue about anything. لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. Allah Azza wa Jalla, when He described the insan, He said, إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. جَهُول, different to jahil. Jahil, ignorant. Jahul, extremely ignorant. That jahul, that wow there, adds an emphasis in how extremely ignorant you are. And then He said, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ. And shay is the smallest amount. يعني not even the tiniest and smallest amount of knowledge you have. Nothing. مِنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءٍ, except what He has given. Now, مِنْ عِلْمِهِ, what's this knowledge that we don't have except by Allah's permission? The knowledge He is referring to two things. There are two opinions and there are two things. The knowledge, number one, knowledge about Allah Himself, about Allah, His names, His attributes, His actions. This is one type of knowledge. Knowledge about Allah Himself, His names and attributes and all these. And the other type of knowledge is the knowledge of His decree and whatever He knows that will happen in the heavens and in the earth. That's another kind of knowledge, right? So there is knowledge about Allah's names and attributes and actions, and there is the knowledge of what Allah knows that will happen on the heavens, in the heavens and in the earth. This is the knowledge that is being mentioned here. So وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ, meaning you will never be able to encompass anything of the knowledge that is about Allah and His names and His attributes, except what He teaches us. How do we know that Allah is the all-hearing, as-sami'a? Because He taught us. How do we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His attributes, is that He speaks? Because He told us. حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ. He told us. You see all this? Everything, every knowledge related to Allah's being, His names, His attributes, His actions, we only knew it. How? Because He subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us. You see that? And the other type of knowledge is what happens in the heavens and in the earth. What happens in the heavens and in the earth. That is also knowledge that Allah Azza wa Jal gives mankind. You know, such as يعني, the process of pregnancy. We know how it works from the beginning to the end and 9 months. This kind of knowledge in terms of what happens between humans and on earth here. We know this because it is Allah who taught us this. Right? So this is what is referred to as مِنْ عِلْمِهِ. إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. You do not learn anything except if Allah Azza wa Jal was to will this case. And what Allah wills is two things. What Allah wills for you to learn is two things. Number one, لَنْ هِيَ الْعُلَمَاء, they said, إِلَّا بِمَا, this ma could either be seen as a ma مصدرية or ma موصولة. Don't worry about this language, I'll explain it to you. If it is مَا الْمَصْدَرِيَةِ, it means that بِمَا شَاءَ, whatever He wills, would mean that Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who gives the ability to learn. It is by Allah's permission He gives us the ability to learn. You see the ability to sit down, to read, to memorize, to revise something, to remember this knowledge, to act by this knowledge when you need it. The ability to learn is given to you by Allah. This is what is meant by إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. The ability to learn is given to you only by His permission. That's number one. And if it's مَال مَوْصُولَ, then what it means is whatever knowledge you learn is by Allah's permission. يعني you know ABC, you know Alif Ba Ta, you memorize Surah Al-Fatiha. All of this, you can only do it when you have the ability to learn. That is also given to you by Allah Azza wa Jal. So بِمَا شَاءَ, two things. He gives you the ability to learn, and then He gives you the knowledge itself. Whether it's knowledge of what happens in the heavens and in the earth, or whether it's the knowledge that is related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His names and attributes and actions. You understand that? فإذا يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء. الله أكبر. How do we drink? Who taught us how to drink? Allah Azza wa Jal. Who taught us how to eat and swallow? And who taught the body how to digest this food? Allah Azza wa Jal, He taught it all things. خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى. He's the one who created and then He guided everything. He created the digestive system and then He guided it to do its work. Subhanallah. إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءُ, only by His permission. And so sometimes people's digestive system doesn't work. Well, because Allah did not will for it to work. And for others it works. And for those who it doesn't work, there needs to be a whole process and operations. And that is knowledge Allah gave mankind. Subhanallah. Everything. Allahu Akbar. Who taught us how to walk and how to talk and how to communicate and how to sit down and how to get up? All of this is given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See how small the human being is. See how insignificant he is. When you sit down, you're reading Ayatul Kursi in the morning and in the evening. Yani, Allah, Ayatul Kursi charges the heart enough to recognize and realize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ar-Rahman allama al-Qur'an. He's the one who taught us the Qur'an. خلق الإنسان علمه البيان. He's the one who taught the human being al-bayan, how to articulate himself and talk and get what he wants. الذي علم بالقلم. How do you write? He's the one who taught us how to write with the pen. And these are from among the first ayat that were revealed from the Qur'an. علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. This covers everything now. He taught the human being that which he never knew. Fundamentally, you knew nothing. He taught you everything. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Here, we need to realize something, and that is, this is why it is a very serious crime to believe other than Allah has knowledge of the unseen. Serious crime. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, مَنْ أَتَى عَرَّافًا فَسَأَلَهُ عَنْ شَيْءٍ لَمْ تُقْبَلْ صَلَاتُهُ أَرْبَعِينَ يَوْمًا. Anyone who goes to a fortune teller or a soothsayer, these people that can tell you the future. Also included in this to read zodiac signs and horoscopes and all of this. This is like al-arraf, to read this and to see, and I was born in this year, what happens in this year, and so on. Whoever reads this stuff, just reads it. Doesn't believe it, just reads it. His salat is not accepted for 40 days and you still have to pray it. Serious crime. Why would you even, why did you even dare to think that other than Allah knows the unseen? It was a serious crime. Just reading it is a crime. And whoever reads it and believes it, فَقَدْ كَفَرَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ. He has disbelieved in what was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And included in this are these things that they're called fortune cookies. You find in Chinese restaurants, they give you hack at the end, fortune. Open it and read what your fortune and your future is going to be. Reading that, 40 days of salat not accepted. Believing it, kufr. Allahu Akbar. After the food, we say Alhamdulillah. And you get up and you move on. And these things, you do not come near them and you do not touch them if they were to be served. This is part of al-kufr. We need to be aware of these matters. Also, something that, يعني, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, people have been tested with, is Allah Azza wa Jal, He says in Surah Luqman at the end, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدَى وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيَّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتِ. This is also part of the exclusive knowledge of Allah, that He has the knowledge of the hour. So you're not allowed to predict when the hour is. This is knowledge for Allah Azza wa Jal. وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ, and He is the one who sends down the rain. Now, you might open the TV or the news and it forecasts tomorrow is rain. As a Muslim, you're not allowed to say tomorrow is raining. You want to say that based on what was mentioned? Add with it the word insha'Allah. Insha'Allah, it's raining tomorrow. Insha'Allah, it's sunny tomorrow. Why? Because what gives you the knowledge that tomorrow is rainy or sunny? وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ, it's He who نَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ. He's the one who sends it down. So if you're assuming or there are predictions or there are some sort of signs that shows that raining is tomorrow or sunny, you say insha'Allah. He's the other calamity. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ, and it is only He Who knows what's in the wombs? Our ibtila, our big calamity that we have today, is something known as gender reveal parties. Gender reveal. Ah, well, it's a boy or it's a girl. Khalas, that's it. Where's the word? Inshallah. It is not allowed to say it's a boy, it's a girl. Not allowed to say this. If this is what the scan or whatever it is kind of gives signs towards, then we say it's a boy, inshallah. At the word inshallah, this is a future matter, I have no clue about it. If it's a girl, we say it's a girl, inshallah. And there's no need for balloons and so on. وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثَ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا. And no soul knows what it's going to do tomorrow. And so just like when you say for any event tomorrow, I will visit you tomorrow, inshallah. People know this, right? Everyone's good at this one. What comes tomorrow and after a week and so on, we know how to say inshallah. But this kind of knowledge was also grouped with the other parts, which is the rain coming down and what's in the womb and the hour. This was all mentioned in one ayah. So why would you say inshallah for what is happening tomorrow and you do not say inshallah for when it's rainy or sunny or what is in the womb? You must follow these words with inshallah. And concerning the wombs and the pregnancy and so on, another calamity that people have fallen into, the sisters, because obviously this is yani, because that's it, that's the only people who get pregnant. Other than that, doesn't make sense. For the woman that is pregnant, and then there is a scan, right? There's a scan. This scan in Islam, according to necessity. If there is no necessity for it, avoid it. Why? Because in Ahkam al-Tibaba, al-Ulama rahimahumullah had mentioned in the fiqh rulings of medical related matters, that this is uncovering the awra for no purpose. For I think if it's the first scan and so on, there perhaps a necessity to make sure that this child is healthy and developing correctly and whatever it is. Perhaps in the first instance, it's permissible, it's fine. But anything beyond this, of what they refer to as today, 3D scan or 2D scan, or come and give you a complete picture of how he looks like, all this, avoid it. Because it is an uncovering of the awra for no purpose. People forget this. Because the scan would include that a woman would uncover her awra in front of other women. And this is forbidden in Islam. For avoid this if there is no purpose for it. يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. Allahu Akbar. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. His kursi, we're going to come to what al-kursi means. His kursi has encompassed the heavens and the earth. وَسِعَ. What does وَسِعَ mean? وَسِعَ means to extend something, to extend it, right? So like you have something really tight, you put your hands in it and you open. You extended it, you wassatu, they say. Wassatuhu, I've extended something. So Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us the kursi in size, it extends beyond the heavens and the earth. So most definitely the kursi of Allah Azza wa Jal is way bigger than the heavens and the earth. Wasi'a kursiyuhu as-samawati wal-ard. Abu Dharr radiyallahu anhu says, ما السماوات السبع في الكرسي إلا كحلقة ملقاة بأرض فلاه وفضل العرش على الكرسي كفضل تلك الفلاة على تلك الحلقة. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said that the entire heavens, the seven heavens, and you know between every heaven is a distance of 500 years, as narrated by Ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه. All the seven heavens and all the earths and what is in between all of them, in comparison to the kursi, is like a ring in the desert. Yani the ring in a desert, this is the heavens and the earth and all this. When we compare it to the kursi is here, and everything else is like this, a ring in the desert. And the kursi, this huge kursi, in comparison to the arsh, to the throne of Allah, is like a ring in the desert. That's how, the biggest thing Allah ever created was the arsh. And it is only Allah. Allah is only, the only king whose throne is bigger than all his kingdom. Like every king on earth, his throne is small. But Allah Azza wa Jal is the only king who his arsh is bigger than entire kingdom that he has created. What is Al-Kursi? وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. There are three opinions here, but listen carefully. Number one, this is the hadith of Ibn Abbas and narrated with an authentic chain. الْكُرْسِيُّ مَوْضِعُ الْقَدَمَيْنِ وَالْعَرْشُ لَا يُقَدِّرُ أَحَدٌ قَدْرَهُ. This is what Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه said. And this narration is authentic. He said the kursi is the footstool. It's the footstool of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one can comprehend the vastness of the arsh except Allah. Even in the first opinion of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, we're learning that the kursi is one thing, which is the footstool of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is in front of the arsh. And the arsh is a separate creation altogether. And that is the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he subhanahu wa ta'ala is established upon. Some narrations also mentioned that Al-Kursi is the knowledge of Allah. Listen carefully. They said it's the knowledge of Allah. And this has also been narrated by Ibn Abbas, but it has been weakened. This narration is weak by many of the ulama. They had declared this narration weak. That the Kursi is the knowledge. Where did this come from? Because in the Arabic language, Al-Kurrasah is a book that has knowledge in it. Right? Until this day, you say Al-Kitab, Al-Kurrasah is a book that there's knowledge in it. So it has a reference to knowledge. And the ayat before was speaking about knowledge. So وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. His knowledge has expanded beyond the heavens and the earth. But this is a weak narration, as we said. And there's a third opinion that's mentioned, and this was mentioned by Al-Hasan Al-Basri, rahimahullah, from among the Salaf, and he died 110 Hijri. He said that Al-Kursi is Al-Arsh. Kursi wal-Arsh is the same. But listen very, very carefully. Those who said that the Kursi is the same as the Arsh, or the Kursi in this ayah is knowledge and so on, they did not reject the fact that the kursi is a footstool for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna what the opinions I just shared with you were related to this ayah only. Yani when they came and did tafsir of wasi'a kursiyu samawati wal ard in this ayah, some said this, some said that, some said that. But all of them agree that a kursi is different to the arsh. What's the proof? Because of the hadith that we mentioned of Abu Dharr, in when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that all the heavens and the earth in comparison to the kursi is like a ring in the desert. And the kursi in comparison to the arsh, then they're two separate things. They're two separate things, you understand? This needs to be understood and made very clear. And the majority of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah believe that Al-Kursi is the footstool of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what was mentioned by Al-Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, وابن القيم, and many others of the scholars of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Then this is what Al-Kursi is, the footstool. But there's something I want to bring your attention to here as a side note, just so you can increase your knowledge on this matter, and it really gives some kind of, it does give a lot of certainty in how Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned and informed us of things. You see, Al-Kursi and the Arsh and the water in which the Arsh is upon, because there is water, and there's arsh on top of this water. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. Allah Azza wa Jal's arsh is on water. And then there is al-qalam that Allah Azza wa Jal has also created. And then there's the hellfire, and the paradise, and al-ruh. All these things I mentioned to you, Allah Azza wa Jal created them all. What came first? What did Allah create first? Al-arsh. Al-Arsh was the first of Allah's creation, not Al-Qalam. Even though some said Al-Qalam, and the proof for saying that Al-Qalam was created first was the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in where he says, أَوَّلُ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْقَلَمْ قَالَ لَهُ أُكْتُبْ. Allah Azza wa Jal, when he first created the pen. So what do we understand from this? That the pen was first created? No, we don't understand this. Rather, what the hadith is saying, When Allah first created the pen, He told it right. Meaning the first thing He commanded it to do when He created it was to tell it right. And this doesn't mean that it was the first thing created. So the arsh was created first, then the qalam, and the first command given to the qalam was to write. This is what awwal with qalam means. The first command it was given to write. And it wrote everything that is going to happen. So the arsh was created. And the water. Some say that the water perhaps could have been created before. And then the arsh was created. Wallahu alam. But perhaps the idea is that al-arsh was created and then the water was created and the arsh was on top of the water. وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. This part of the ayah, كَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ, implies that the water could have been there. And then the arsh was created and placed on top of it. And both of them could have been created at the same time. Allahu A'lam. Arsh was created. Then al-qalam. How many days did it take for Allah Azza wa Jal to create the arsh? We don't know. Tamam. How many days for the kursi? We don't know. How many days did Allah Azza wa Jal create the heavens and the paradise and the hellfire? The paradise and the hellfire, how many days were they created in? We don't know. There's nothing mentioned. Tayyib, what about al-qalam? Nothing mentioned as well. What about the ruh that's in us? Nothing mentioned as well. Allahu A'lam. Tayyib. How many days did Allah Azza wa Jal create the heavens and the earth? 6 days. How do we know? It's in the Quran. How many days did Allah Azza wa Jal create the body of Adam? This Ibn Abbas would say 40 years. Al-Dahhak's narration, 40 days it was created before the soul was breathed into him. So look, there are things in which Allah told us about in how many days He created, and there are things we have no clue about how many days they were created in. Al-Arsh, Wal-Kursi, the paradise, the hellfire, Al-Qalam, Al-Ruh, they have no days in how many days they were created. Nothing mentioned. And these heavens and the earth and everything in between and the mountains and the ocean and all that was within 6 days. And the body of man, 40 years or days. Why was this counted and these weren't counted? Sure. What is the purpose of counting something? I know when I count something, why do you count something for? Limited. Huh? Limited. It's limited. When I count something, meaning I want to reach the end. And if I have a stack of money and I begin to count, I will reach the end, right? If you see me sitting and counting, I'm not going to be counting forever. I'll be stopping somewhere, right? This is the purpose of counting something that it will have an end. So now listen to this. The heavens and the earth were created in 6 days. There's a counting because they will come to an end. There's an end for them. But there's a counting for them. The human body, 40 years, 40 days, whatever it is, it was counted because the human body comes to an end. It finishes and it ends. Al-Kursi, wal-Arsh, wal-Jannah, wal-Nar, wal-Qalam, wal-Ruh, they don't have a number of days in which they were created. Why? There's no point to count them because they don't end. They are on forever and ever and ever. You see that? For that's, subhanAllah, some of the wisdoms as to why there was no mention of days for the arsh, for the heavens, for the paradise, for al-nar, and even for the soul. The soul within you never dies. The soul does not die. Allah says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. The soul only tastes death. Allah did not say kullu nafsin satamut, every soul will die. No, every soul will taste death, and it tastes it as it comes out of the body. But the soul as a soul, no, it doesn't die, it never dies. From when Allah created it, it'll never die, right? It only transitions from one life to another. And then over there in the afterlife, the human being would be created again. But there is no mention of how many days Allah would recreate the human being. Why? Because that's it. That body that Allah Azza wa Jal would give you, the human being, on the day of resurrection, and put that soul back in there, it is eternal. It doesn't end. Now, for this is just something on the side for you to realize that the fact that Allah put days, counted days, for the creation of the heavens and the earth and man, that in itself in itself is a proof that it will come to an end, because you don't count something that doesn't end. And the other things did not give an account, therefore they don't end. Iman, it strengthens a person's certainty in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Coming to the final conclusion of the ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا. And it is not difficult, and it is not heavy upon Allah to guard them both, meaning to guard the heavens and the earth. Because he said, وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The heavens and the earth were mentioned. Now he says, وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ. It is not heavy and troubling and difficult upon him that he guard the heavens and the earth. The word يَؤُودُهُ comes from the word وَأَدَى. وَأَدَى means for something to be heavy. You know, Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, وَإِذَا الْمَوْؤُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ. What's al-maw'uda? The maw'uda is what? The baby girl that is killed alive, yeah? This is the maw'uda. Why was she called a maw'uda? Because they used to dig the earth, they would get the baby girl, they would put her in the hole in the earth, they would put her in a hole in the earth, and they will push this dirt back in. As this dirt is coming back on, it's weighing heavy on her chest to the point where it kills her. So it's called وَإِذَا الْمَوْؤُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ. Al-Maw'uda is the baby girl who died as a result of this heavy dirt landing on her chest, suffocating her, and she dies. فَالْوَأَدْ يَؤُودُهُ means heaviness. Allah Azza wa Jal says it is absolutely not heavy upon him, nor is it troubling for him, nor is it difficult for him that he guard the heavens and the earth. Allahu Akbar. Yani the heavens, seven heavens, between each heaven is 500 years, the distance of 500 years. And there are no pillars that hold the heavens. There are no pillars that are apparent that we can see on earth that are carrying this heavy sky. Nothing. But who's holding it? Who holds it? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُمْسِكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ أَن تَزُولَ. Allah Azza wa Jal is holding the heavens and the earth. أَن تَزُولَ, meaning if he left it, it'll slip, it'll fall, it'll crumble, it'll crush. It'll become destroyed, and obviously everything on it will destroy as well. So the idea here is, subhanAllah, remember the beginning of the ayah was what? الْحَيُّ الْقَيُّومِ. His name is Al-Qayyum, the one who maintains all things. Now we're coming towards the end of the ayah and he says it's not heavy upon him. Well, obviously it's not heavy because he's Al-Qayyum and he perfectly maintains everything. But this is the point here. When you're reading Adhkar al-Sabahi wal-Masa', when you read this in the morning and in the evening and you come past this ayah, وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ وَحِفْظُهُ مَاكْ. Stop and feel it in your heart. You're acknowledging, as you're sitting there in the morning, you are acknowledging and declaring that, oh Allah, guarding the heavens and the earth and everything that is on it, it is not difficult upon you. Therefore, is it going to be heavy upon Allah to guard you during the day and during the night? If it's not difficult upon him to guard the heavens and the earth, meaning it's very easy for him to guard the heavens and in the earth, can't he also guard you and protect you and save you from the fitan and from sins and from trial and tribulation and punishment and doubts? And can't he also protect you from magic and the evil eye and the hellfire and his anger and his punishment? Of course, of course. You see the kind of power this ayah is going to instill within you every morning and every evening when you read this ayah. This is what we want to reach, my brothers and sisters in Islam. The entire point of tafsir ayat al-Kursi is so that we can recognize the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words. Wallahi, if you wanted to spend $1 million to find words that have these meanings, uqsimu billah, you will not find anything on earth. And this was given to us by Allah Azza wa Jalla as a guidance for mankind. Take it. And not only that, he sent a prophet as well to explain it to us. And an entire legacy, and ummah wa ulama who just came one century after the other, traveling up and down and going fi sabilillah wa jihad just to deliver this knowledge. And eventually we're sitting here, I have a screen here, we're sitting in a comfortable place and we're sharing this knowledge that is priceless. Allahu Akbar. Indeed, it is from Allah Azza wa Jal's success that He bestows upon people that they attend lessons and of knowledge and seek beneficial knowledge for themselves. وَلَا يَؤُدُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا. Always focus on this. يَؤُدُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا. Then it is very easy for Allah Azza wa Jal to protect you. Just be honest with Allah. Want that protection? Ask it. Allah Azza wa Jal would give it to you. And as you're reading Ayat al-Kursi, the result of reading Ayat al-Kursi is protection. It is protection. Yani, you know that when we first started with this surah and we spoke about al-jinn that entered the house of Abu Hurairah and Mu'adh ibn Jabal and the other companions and you're stealing, then that jinni gave them that knowledge, read Ayat al-Kursi. What happened on the fourth night? Did the jinn appear? Fifth night, khalas, he disappeared. He wasn't there ever again. لأنه they read Ayat al-Kursi. Haka al-Sahaba, once they learned something, they implemented. And its effect, this is its effect. The shaitan was no longer in the house. They didn't have a problem anymore. But before this ayah, look at the problem that the Sahaba went through. Mu'adh ibn Jabal is telling, I had to wake up all night, guard my food. Perhaps he was nodding the whole night, trying to see what's happening. Then this creature came in, who's this? What's happening? Avoid all this. Just read Ayat al-Kursi and go rest and put your head on the pillow and sleep. Comfortable sleep, walhamdulillah. Ayat al-Kursi. وَلَا يَؤُدُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا. He'll guard you as He guards these heavens and the earth and everything that is in between them. Finally, وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. Allahu Akbar. Powerful end to the ayah. Two great names of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. Al-Ali, the Most High. Allah Azza wa Jal praised Himself with this name. The name Al-Ali, His attribute Al-Ulu. I told you last time that every name of Allah, we derive an attribute from it. And not every attribute, we derive a name from it. So if Allah's name is Al-Ali, definitely there is an attribute for it, and that is Al-Ulu, Sifatul Ulu, the loftiness and the highness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we speak about Allah Al-Ali, Allah the Most High, it refers to three things. Number one, Ulu al-Dhat, that Allah is above all His creation, established upon the throne. This is the first meaning of Al-Ulu, that He is in the above direction. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed up with his index finger on the day he gave the final sermon, on the day of Arafah, and he said, Allahumma ashhad. And the narration says, فَقَالَ بِإِصْبَعِهِ السَّبَّابَةِ يَرْفَعُهَا إِلَى السَّمَاءِ Allahumma ashhad. Right? And there are tons of ahadith and ayat in the Quran as well that indicate this meaning, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above all that which He created. The second meaning, ulu al-qadr, meaning His attributes and His names are the highest. Nothing is higher than the names of Allah and the attributes of Allah. Absolutely nothing. So, ulu al-qadr. And the third ulu, the third highness here we're referring to, is ulu al-qahr. Uluw al-qahr, that He is the one who overcomes and overpowers everything He created. In other words, everything is under His command, under His control. Nothing happens except by His permission. And in the ayah, we already identified that ash-shafa'ah only happens by His permission. And we also identified that knowledge, the ability to learn, and the knowledge you have only happens by His permission. See that? Uluw al-qahr. He overpowers all things. He controls it all. So whatever you're scared from, when you read this ayah, وَهُوَ الْعَلِيِّ, it recharges this kind of knowledge that will only make you afraid of Him and fear Him and no one else, because He's Al-Ali, He overpowers all things. What are you scared of? Whatever you're scared of, He has control over it, subhanallah. Al-Aliyyu al-Azim, these two names came attached with each other twice in the Quran. In this ayah, Ayat al-Kursi, wa huwa al-Aliyyu al-Azim, and it also comes in Surah al-Shura. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. What is the relationship? In Surah al-Shura, Allah Azza wa Jal says, to Him belongs whatever is in the heavens and in the earth, and He is al-Ali al-Azim, the Most High, the Most Great. Why the Most High, the Most Great? Why were these two names in the ayah that mentioned to Him belongs everything in the heavens and in the earth? What's the relationship? Very simple. What this means is that Allah Azza wa Jal made everything He created in the heavens and in the earth a sign that He is Al-Ali Al-Azim. If you're confused, how is Allah Al-Ali Al-Azim? Just look around you. Because all around you of what Allah created in the heavens and in the earth is enough proof that He is Al-Ali Al-Azim. Just look at the sky and how it's being created. And nothing of pillars we can see hold it. What is this? The only one who can be maintaining this is Al-Ali, is Allah. Therefore you reach the conclusion that He is Al-Ali subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest effect that the name of Allah Al-Ali would have upon your heart, if indeed you internalize this heart and you believe in this heart with this name, is that it humbles the servant and it allows you to recognize the greatness of Allah and your need for Allah. This is the name, this is the natural effect of allowing the name of Allah Al-Ali to be absorbed by your heart. Natural effect, you'd be humble and recognize your need for Allah Azza wa Jal. And it develops sincerity in your heart concerning your worships. And it develops intense certainty in Allah Azza wa Jal. That's the natural effect. And how do we live by this name of Allah Al-Ali? How do you implement this name? Because you know, every name of Allah Azza wa Jal is to be implemented in our life. You need to implement every name. Like if Allah is Ar-Rahman, the most merciful, be merciful with the creation. You're implementing Allah's name in your life. How do you implement the name Al-Ali in your life? Number one, being humble. From among the great manners and the good manners of a believer is humility before Allah Azza wa Jal. Train yourself to submit to Allah, to place no one or nothing above Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fight the desire, train yourself to show patience and gratitude in all situations to Al-Ali subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man tawadha'a lillah, rafa'ahu Allah." See that? Man tawadha'a, whoever humbles himself to Allah, submits to Allah, Allah would elevate him. Why? Because he's Al-Ali, he can elevate you. See that? That's how you live this name. Humble yourself. Number two, increase your sujood. This is how you implement Allah's name Al-Ali. Why? Because in a sujood, we say Subhana Rabbi Al-A'la. So increase your sujood so that you keep increasing Subhana Rabbi Al-A'la in terms of saying it. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, عَلَيْكَ بِكَثْرَةِ السُّجُودِ. Commit to abundance of sujood. What that means is pray. Not just keep doing sujood up and down, but pray. And within your salat, there is sujood. For every rak'ah, there is two sujood. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, commit to plenty of sujood. فَإِنَّكَ لَا تَسْجُدُ لِلَّهِ سَجْدَةً. For every sajda you make sincerely for Allah, إِلَّا رَفَعَكَ اللَّهُ بِهَا دَرَجَةً وَحَطَّ عَنْكَ بِهَا خَطِيئَةً. For every sajda sincerely for Allah, Allah would raise you a level in the paradise. One level in the paradise for every sajda. How many levels do you want? Show us in your action. Show Allah in your action. Show Him in your sujood. And also, it removes a sin. Allahu Akbar. Then this is how you're implementing Allah's name Al-Ali in your life. Be humble and make plenty of sujood. Also, third way is to call on His name, Al-Ali. Use it in your dua. Ya Ali, irfa'ni darajatin fil jannah, for example. Oh Ali, oh the Most High, I call by your name the Most High, that you elevate me in the paradise, and you elevate my status in your eyes. Make this dua, use the name Al-Ali. When was the last time you said Ya Ali? Mafi. Ya Ali in the sense that the Oh Most High, not shirk. And yani from those ways as well, share the last one on this one. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla elevates and He raises those who have believed among you and those who seek the knowledge or given knowledge. You're given knowledge when you seek it. So seeking knowledge is a means in how a person is elevated by Allah Azza wa Jal. Subhanallah. If we ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He accept this gathering and elevate us, because this is a gathering in where we're seeking knowledge bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Wa huwa al-Ali. Finally, al-Azim. His name, al-Azim. Al-Azim, the greatest, the supreme, the mighty. Al-Azim, it comes from the word azam. Azam means what? Azam is a bone. And a bone is strong. It's the strongest makeup of the human being, his bones. Therefore, al-Azim, the strongest, the greatest. Linguistically, azim is the superlative form of izam. Izam means for something to be great. Azim means extremely great. That, yeah, there gives it that emphasis, pushes it beyond its limit of what you can comprehend. Al-azim is the one whose greatness cannot be comprehended by the minds. He is great in his being, in his essence, in his names, in his attributes, in all matters that are related to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-azim. And from his greatness is that the entire heavens and the earth are in his hands. This is a narration. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said that the seven heavens and the seven earths in the palm of Allah, this is an attribute of Allah, in the palm of Allah is like a mustard seed in our palm. Sure, mustard seed is like this. If you drop it, you'll lose it. Everything Allah created in his palm, it's like a mustard seed in our palm. Subhanallah. And obviously we don't take from the hadith that we're comparing Allah's palm to our palm. We affirm for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a kaf, a palm, but in a manner that befits His Majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Jarir rahimahullah, he said, Al-Azim, Alladhi yu'azzimuhu khalquhu wa yuhabunahu wa yattaqunahu. Al-Azim is the one who is feared and honored by His creation. So the more you fear Allah, the more you honor Allah, you're establishing the name of Allah, Al-Azim, in your life. How can you live by this name? How do we live by the name of Allah, Al-Azim? Number one, fill up the scale of your good deed by remembering Al-Azim through the words that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, and that is, whoever says, Subhana Rabbi Al-Azim, Subhanallah wa bihamdih, Subhanallah Al-Azim, then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that these two statements are very light on the tongue. They are heavy in the scale. Why were they heavy in the scale? Because in the dhikr we said, Subhanallah Al-Azim. For that made them heavy in the scale, right? They are heavy. And they are, خفيفتان على اللسان, حبيبتان إلى الرحمن, ثقيلتان في الميزان, and they are most beloved to Ar-Rahman, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how are you going to live by Allah's name, Al-Azim? Continue to say, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah Al-Azim. And increase that, just saying it once is heavy on the scale. Imagine then 2 and 3 and 100 times, and beautiful, Subhanallah. Number two, ask Al-Azim for help in all your situations in life. Ya Azim. Use this name in your dua, Ya Azim. القوة لله جميعا. Isn't all strength, doesn't it all belong to Allah? He is the owner of all strength. So every hardship and calamity and challenge and every problem that you face is insignificant compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, compared to what He is able to create. It's very insignificant. For as a result, you ask Allah, Ya Azim, make such and such easy upon me. The third way is that you fee Al-Azim. Whenever you fee something in life, remember the name of Allah, Al-Azim. Because He's Al-Azim. He's the strongest, the greatest. So whatever you're fearing becomes very insignificant. As a result, you'll rise above this fear of yours from whatever you have of fear of what He has created. Number four, increase your dhikr when you bow. بالركوع وبالسجود. We say سبحان ذي الجبروت والملكوت والكبرياء والعظمة. You know this dua? You don't know it. So memorize it. Memorize it. One of the main dua of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, one of the main dhikr, when he used to go into ركوع and سجود, was to say سبحان ذي الجبروت والملكوت والكبرياء والعظمة. Which means, O Allah, how perfect are You, the possessor of total power and sovereignty and magnificence and might. And you repeat this. And also in your ruku'ah, you're saying, Subhana Rabbiyal عظيم سبحان ربي العظيم. Finally, and this is the last remark we make for tonight, concluding this ayah. وهو العلي العظيم. These two names appear in what? Something that we do every single day, the fard, in our ruku' and in our sujood. In ruku' you're saying سبحان ربي العظيم. In السجود you're saying سبحان ربي الأعلى وهو العلي العظيم. Then these two names are coming. You are saying it at least 100 times. Al-Azim and Al-A'la at least 100 times, right? Because, and if each ruku' 3 times, and you can do more than that, and sujood 3 times and more than that, and that's just the fard. So imagine you're doing also يعني the sunan before and after, and some night prayers, wadduha and so on. You're going to be saying Al-A'la and Al-Azim so many times. What's the significance of these names in these positions of a salat? In ruku' you're saying Subhana Rabbi Al-Azim. Why here Al-Azim? And down there Al-A'la. When you're in this position, you see this ruku' position? This is the weakest position a human being could be in. That's the weakest position you could be in. If you stood like this in a position of ruku' and a child came and pushed you, you'll move. Because that's the weakest position. From the weakest position, you'll declare he's the strongest. Subhana Rabbi Al-Azim, the strongest. And when you're in sujood, which is the lowest position you'll ever be in, there's nothing lower than this. Your head now is now touched, your forehead is on the ground. That in from the lowest position, from there, you'll declare he's Al-Ali, Subhana Rabbi Al-A'la, the Most High. See how beautiful this is? Once you understand Al-Adhkar, there's meaning to it. Then there's sweetness to it, there is taste, then you enjoy it. You see this? فَإِذَنْ you remember, سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْعَظِيمُ like I'm so weak in a position like this. Allah Azza wa Jal now allows you to declare that He is the strongest, the greatest, both in your action and on your tongue. And when you're in sujood, you're declaring that He is the Most High on your tongue and in your action, in your body as well. And that, as al-ulama, rahimahumullah, would say, this is the highest form of declaring Allah is the Most High. When your body is declaring it, the sujood, and your tongue is declaring it by saying, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Incredibly beautiful. And what's even more beautiful is to know that these two names of Allah come in the end of the greatest ayah in the Quran. And that is ayatul kursi, subhanallah. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give us a deep understanding of His word. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us, to forgive our sins, our shortcomings. Innahu waliyu dhalika wal qadiru alayhi. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.